our third and final guest of the show, and that is Tom Rock from Newsday. Tommy boy, how are you, my man? I got to get your microphone turned on. There we go.
Hi, John.
How
are you?
How you doing, Tom? I'm doing great.
I'm doing great now that I can be heard.
Yeah. Well, we all want to hear you. That's why you're here. And we heard from Tom Coughlin earlier today. He was asked about a potential contract extension. He didn't say a whole lot, but things can be inferred from it. What did Tom Rock infer?
It certainly seems like he's going to get another one-year extension, and that's probably what's going to happen. It sounds like it's pretty imminent that the wheels are in motion, so to speak, and that he's gonna wind up not bucking that long-standing team philosophy of having a head coach not coach into his final year of his contract that the Giants have had for way back when, probably since 1925, I would think.
And funny enough, it seemed like, based on what John Mara said after the season, that there was a chance that might not actually continue.
You know, I think that was
you
just,
weren't buying it, huh?
I wasn't buying that at all. Because, it was a fun thing to write, certainly, and it was accurate that he said it, and maybe he was considering it a little bit. I just think coming off of a season like the last two seasons, coming off of those seasons, wasn't the time to say, yes, he's our guy, and we're going to throw another year on his contract. You have to take a little time, and that may have been a little bit of a public relations maneuver just to kind of distance these talks from the 2014 season, from the 2013 season, and put it in a different conversation as we come to this point in the NFL calendar and start to look forward to 2015.
One other thing I thought Tom said that was pretty clear and unequivocal was that the Giants have no intention of JPP not being a member of this team next year.
Yeah, however they figure it out, they want him to be to basically be a Giant for the rest of his life and retire as a Giant. I mean, Tom Coughlin may have even offered him a spot on the coaching staff when he stopped playing. The way he was talking about keeping this guy around for so long. Obviously there's got to be a way, there's got to be a mechanism to do that, and the franchise tag is certainly on the table, and that's going to be the deadline for that is going to be next Friday, so we're going to be watching that. The Giants have a long history, like the lame duck coach policy. They usually don't use the franchise tag for much more than a bridge just to get to a long-term deal. We saw that with Brandon Jacobs. We saw that with Steve Weatherford. So I suspect that given the Giants' desire to keep Jason Pierre-Paul and knowing what that entails financially, and given Pierre-Paul's comments at the end of the season that he would like to remain with the Giants, I'm sure they'll reach a middle ground either before or after this franchise tag ends. But I would say by the time that the free agency and the season come around, he's not going to be on the hook for a one-year $15 million contract.
Well, and I guess that gives more motivation to get a long-term deal done, right? Because the longer he's on that tag, that money has to be allocated, and then all of a sudden free agents are signing places. And
yes, it counts before, they haven't spent it, but it counts. And so now you got to figure out what you're going to do. And of course, we didn't ask Tom about this, but this is more of a Jerry question for Saturday morning.
And he'll talk Saturday,
about
right?
Eli Manning's contract and where we stand with that and what kind of extension might be in store for him.
And that's something I'm sure the Giants and him will talk about. Usually, it seems that negotiations with Eli usually aren't the most cantankerous and tough to deal with.
No, they're usually pretty good, and his agent, Tom Condon, usually has a pretty good relationship with the Giants. And I remember the last time we did this extension, I think, was during training camp, and it got done in a matter of a couple of days and hammered out pretty quickly. So the key to this one, I think, is going to be how long do the Giants want to commit to Eli, and how much more do they, how much longer do they think he can be a quarterback who's of the caliber that can lead the team to a championship.
What's your opinion based on what you've seen from those type of elite quarterbacks in the National Football League? Can you count on them to age 38? Can you count on them to age 40? Heck, look at Tom Brady.
Age 40, that's tough. He certainly is not has not shown any wear or tear.
Certainly not.
From the physical beating that he's taken over the first 10 years of his career.
Which is funny, by the way, because neither did his brother, and then all of a sudden,
well, I was gonna say,
it just happened.
I had a car like that. And all of a sudden, I was really happy with it, and nothing ever happened to it. And all of a sudden, one thing went and another, and it starts to fall apart. You got to get rid of it. So, sometimes quarterbacks are like that. People are like that. It's certainly hard to tell, and you never know. One one bad hit in this league, and that's the end of it for a lot of guys. You know, all of a sudden, they come back from knee injuries and things like that, but you start landing on your shoulder wrong, and you're throwing shoulder or your elbow or something like that, and it gets a lot trickier to start to come back and to start to recover from those injuries in your mid-30s.
Or Eli could be Tom Brady and look like himself till age 40.
He
who the heck
Tom
knows?
Brady. He could be Tom Brady. He could be Eli Manning and play till he's 45. You know, maybe Tom Coughlin sticks around that long, too. Who
I'll
knows?
Tell you what, I think Tom would like to be honest with you, the way he talks about it.
Yeah.
One guy that might be a little bit more interesting to keep an eye on is Onchor Roll, and we talked to Kim Jones about this a few minutes ago. What do you think, and I'll attack it from this angle, what do you think the outside market is going to be for Onchor Roll if he does, in fact, get to free agency? He's on the other side of 30, which a lot of times will deter teams from offering big-time contracts, but at the same time, it's a weak safety draft. Free agency, there aren't a ton of safeties that are out there beyond Devin McCourty that are top-notch players. Onchor is one of the best safeties out there. What do you think the free agent market is going to be for a guy like Onchor Roll?
You know, Onchor Roll's best attribute for the Giants, in terms of the Giants re-signing him, is his intangibles. It's his leadership. It's the C on his chest. It's the way he deals with the younger players, the example he sets, practicing every day, showing up for every game. So I'm not so sure how that translates to other teams who don't see that all the time.
And don't know the player personally.
And don't know the player personally. And, you know, I know in Arizona he didn't have that kind of a role. You know, he as far as being outspoken and with the media, so he goes to another market, and it's not the New York media where you know we go to his locker every day and he sort of holds court and espouses on every angle of the team. You know, I don't know that plays in other markets or how that plays in other markets. You know, we look at Justin Tuck. I mean, you know, I didn't hear a memorable quote from him all year, and he was, you know, he was practically the spokesman for the Giants for 4 or 5 years. How that plays in, I'm not sure. And then, but you also look at it, and Justin Tuck's a great example that the Giants just don't pay for intangibles. That, you know, they usually don't anyway.
Especially not intangibles that are over the age of 30.
Yes. Yeah. No, they're more likely to cut early than to let these players dangle on for a couple of more years. So I think it'll be interesting. I think he'll go with a free agency. I think they're going to be a little far apart, the Giants and Antrell, when the calendar year begins in March, and then he'll be out there and he'll probably get a few sniffs from teams and see what happens from there. But my sense is that eventually he'll come back to the Giants.
How do you think the Giants view the linebacker position? We know they like Devon Kennard as a long-term answer there. You have Jameel McClain, a veteran. John Beeson has battled injuries his entire career. You got, you know, young veterans like Spencer Paysinger, like Mark Herzlick. How do you think the Giants view this linebacker position now? What do you think their strategy will be moving forward?
I think it's going to start to rotate a little bit this year and start to focus more on Kennard. I think they're going to try to, you know, they thought they knew what they had in Kennard, but he had to show it first last year. And now this year they kind of know that Kennard could be the man. Kennard could be the linchpin to that whole defense between the front and the back and side to side. They can build a defense. He's the kind of a player that you could build a defense around. And Steve Spagnuolo, with his background with linebackers from Philadelphia, he can certainly see what kind of benefits Kennard can bring, and we saw him blitzing more at the end of this season, and that really opened up a lot of eyes, and he certainly made a lot of quarterback hits. So I think that it's going to be a bit of a transition year, a bit of a changing of the guard from that Beeson McClain linebacker room to let's start to build around Devon Kennard a little bit and scheme around him a little bit and really bring out whatever virtues he has on the field and put an exclamation mark on what he can do.
Two players rehabbing, trying to come back from pretty serious injuries, Victor Cruz at wide receiver, Jeff Schwartz on the offensive line. How do you think the Giants are approaching those two situations moving forward? How much expectations do they have that those guys will be able to be themselves and give them significant playing time this year?
Right. Well, there's hope and then there's reality. And you know, obviously everybody hopes that they'll be back. And, you know, be back to themselves too,
right.
which is important. But the reality is that they're both very serious injuries, and we saw with Beeson how his toe and foot problems lingered for a long time, and so we'll have to keep an eye on Schwartz with that. And as far as Cruz goes, you know, Jerry at the end of the year said, you know, he kind of made a comparison to David Wilson last year, where they're counting on him to come back, hoping he'll come back rather, but not really counting on him, and sort of making preparations just in case he can't. So you know, it's an interesting situation. You know, Tom said that Victor's rehab is coming along well, and that he's making progress, but it's a very slow, tedious rehab from that injury, which we knew coming into the process, and it's going to be interesting to see how he is able to translate his new physical limitations, if there are any, onto the field, and of course how all that relates to Odell Beckham Jr. and Ruben Randle and whoever
and the draft
pick, sure, because there's always a lot of good wide receivers in the draft, and so, you know, maybe if you know, the kid from Missouri drops a little bit and all of a sudden he's there, you know, they took a shot on Mario Manningham with some red flags, maybe the third or fourth round.
So what, he's a big kid too, so I'm walking around.
And his name is Beckham also.
Can't go wrong, right?
Yeah, all
right,
Beckham's the better.
Tom, very quickly, 20 seconds before we say goodbye. Giants picking 9. You've heard about where the talent is in this draft and everything. Where do you think value is going to fit need at that 9 spot? Is it likely going to be up front, either offensive line, defensive line? Do you think the Giants will throw a curveball and go elsewhere?
Yeah, I think it's going to be on the line. I think that's going to be the key for them this year. They're still in the process of rebuilding that offensive line. And if you look at the Cowboys' blueprint, so to speak, of picking high, being disciplined, I think offensive line is the place to go. And I think you could probably get the best offensive lineman in this draft right around 9, because it's not a very top-heavy draft for that position.
Tom, great stuff as always, my
John,
friend. Great
seeing
to see you
in Indianapolis.
Enjoy the -60 degree weather for the next few days.
Yes.
Appreciate it. That's Tom Rock from Newsday. Does a great job covering the Giants for Newsday. We'll be hearing from his buddy Bob Glauber. He'll be joining us on Saturday after Jerry Reese speaks at the podium. So make sure you check that out on Giants.com. We got a